All right, so now that we've talked about some of the things that our primary purpose as marketplace Christians is not, we're going to talk about what our primary purpose actually is. And it's all about making disciples. The Great Commission is not to go into all the world and to make profit. It's not even to go into all the world and build churches. It's to go into all the world and make disciples, and not just of individuals, but of entire nations. So as we are discipling individuals, we can ultimately disciple companies and industries and entire communities that are affected by our business. And we're going to get into how we can do that here in the next segment. But in this segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about what does it mean to make disciples, and specifically to make disciples in the business world. What does it look like to make disciples in the business world? What is discipleship? Christian discipleship is fundamentally about becoming more like Jesus and helping the world around us to look more like Jesus as a result. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14 says, "For as the waters fill the sea, the earth," what is the earth? Does it include the marketplace? Of course it does. "The earth will be filled with an awareness of the glory of God." What is the glory of God? The writer of Hebrews tells us that the glory of God is Jesus, that Jesus, the Son, is the exact representation of the Father. And so the earth is to be filled with an awareness of Jesus, is another way that you could translate this verse. And that's what discipleship is all about, is becoming more aware of Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and it following Jesus, and becoming more like Jesus as a result of following Jesus. And all of that may sound a little bit too complex. We can distill it down, and the Apostle Paul has done it for us nicely when he said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." That is the essence of what discipleship is all about. It's living our lives in such a compelling way that we are attracting people to Jesus based on how we live and conduct ourselves, in our case, specifically in the business world. So another question behind this question of what is our primary purpose in business? We know that our primary purpose in business as Christians, as marketplace Christians, is to make disciples. And so making disciples means looking like Jesus and helping the world around us, the people around us, to look more like Jesus. What does Jesus look like in the business world? Once again, the Apostle Paul has helped us out here. He says in 1 Corinthians 12:12, "There is one body, but it has many parts, but all its many parts make up one body." It is the same with Christ. What are these many parts that the Apostle Paul is talking about here? You're probably already guessing where I'm going here. We're talking about spiritual gifts. These are the different parts of the body that make up the body of Christ. The hand, the foot, the tongue, the ear, every part of the body is absolutely essential. All of the internal organs, all of the cells, every part plays a role. So what is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit through a born-again Christian to the people of God for the purpose of spreading the awareness of the glory of God throughout the earth. So I'm going to back up and unpack this a little bit. A spiritual gift is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit. So we're not just talking about your natural abilities. We're talking about, and yes, you can make the argument that God made every person, regardless of whether you're a Christian, regardless of whether you're born again or not, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters at creation. The Holy Spirit was involved in the creation of everything that exists. Absolutely. But we're talking about something that an ability that is uniquely given to a born again Christian. But the next part here is that it's given through a born again Christian. So it's not just giving to you as a marketplace Christian so that you can make more money, or so that you can be more spiritual, so that you can be more influential. It's given through you to the people of God. So it's not even necessarily given to your business. It's not even necessarily given to the culture. It's given to the people of God for the purpose, why? Of spreading the awareness of the glory of God throughout the earth. So why are spiritual gifts given? They're not just given for selfish ambition. They're not just given for us to do better in life. They're given to us for the purpose of spreading the awareness of the glory of God throughout the earth. And we know what the awareness of what the glory of God is. It's Jesus Christ. And we just unpacked that on the previous slide. So what is Jesus? He consists of these different parts. This is the language that the Apostle Paul has given to us, where we can each understand the various roles that we play in the body of Christ, but specifically as extensions of the body of Christ out in the marketplace. Here's some of the examples of spiritual gifts. Administration, there's giving, there's wisdom, there's encouragement. There are all of these different parts that make up Jesus Christ. And so you may, certainly we are all called to do each one of these, but some of them are going to be more of your default. Some of them are just going to come more naturally. I mean, you're the person, I talked about evangelism in the workplace in the previous segment. So when you think about marketplace ministry, if immediately what comes to mind is that I'm going to go into my workplace, I'm going to pass out, I'm going to leave tracts in the lobby, I'm going to figure out who I can share my testimony with at lunch, and I'm going to do that every day, and I'm going to have a plan of action to do that. You probably, my friend, have a gift of evangelism, which is just absolutely awesome. I mean, maybe your gift is compassion. And we're going to get into how these different gifts kind of operate. Maybe you're the person that when there's a sick coworker, or maybe one of your coworkers has a death in the family, you're the person that wants to go and raise that benevolence fund so that that person can have some, just know that their company is behind them. Just know that their coworkers are supporting them through their personal hardship. These are just some examples of spiritual gifts. And there's going to be an assessment that you're going to be able to take at the end of this unit. And I would absolutely encourage you to do so to find out what your gifts are. So I'm going to take just a couple of these different gifts, and we're going to look at some examples of what these look like in the lives of actual marketplace Christians. So when you think of the heroes of the Christian faith, who typically comes to mind? Oftentimes, it's probably not a business person. It's probably somebody who stood behind a pulpit, and they were known for standing behind a pulpit, or they were just kind of known as sort of they were like the Mother Teresa or the Billy Graham. Or these are the heroes that come to mind. We typically don't think of business people, and yet that's 85% of the Christian workforce. So if we are to truly fulfill God's calling for our lives as marketplace Christians, we need some heroes that we can relate with. We need to understand more specifically, what do these various parts of the body of Jesus Christ look like in action in the business world? So here are a few examples. The first one we can look at here in the upper left is John Wanamaker. So John Wanamaker, and I'm going to talk, he's one of my personal heroes. We're going to talk more about him later on in a couple of the different segments. But John Wanamaker is considered the father of modern advertising, and he had just a tremendous gift of hospitality. And when people came into his store, he wanted them to feel just so welcome that they wouldn't want to leave. I mean, this was a day and age when people felt very uncomfortable in stores because they had to come in there and kind of haggle. There were no price tags on things. They were just basically, the clerk would try to get whatever he or she could get out of that person. So he invents the department store, number one, which was just this unbelievable, almost like a theme park attraction in his city there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in the United States. And he also invented the price tag. In those days, like I said, nobody knew what the price was when the customer came in. The clerk would just try to get as much as he could out of that person. And so John Wanamaker says, no, I want people to feel comfortable. I want them to feel relaxed when they come into my store. And so we're going to put price tags on everything so they can come in and enjoy themselves. They can shop, and just feel comfortable. I mean, he would actually, he'd come up next to a shopper and he'd have a handful of chestnuts and he would give them a few and they would just kind of walk around the store just talking about life. And he would just share some snacks with them. When D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, wanted to come and do an evangelistic meeting in his city, John Wanamaker said, you can have it at my store. In fact, I'll give you 300 of my own staff to help work the event as ushers and so forth. I mean, that was just kind of his heart of hospitality at work in the business world. And he was just a man of God. In the upper right there is my friend Daniel Gill. If you've seen the show American Ninja Warrior, I know some of you who are watching around the world, there's Ninja Warriors in other countries as well. But he's one of the great ones here in America. He's a personal friend of mine. And he really walks in a gift of healing. And so you can imagine, if you've seen the show, you know how many injuries happen because they're just jumping over things and twisting their bodies in ways that, you know, they just really weren't made to be twisted. And so he would actually go and pray for people who were in the line as they were going for these different qualifying events. Somebody would turn around and say, man, I just can't make this run. My ankle is just really hurting me. And then maybe they sprained it or even potentially broke it. And he's got countless stories of how he would just have this compassionate heart of Jesus and just lay hands on that person and just believe God for their recovery so that they could go and they could make that run. And he has numerous stories of where these people were instantly healed through the power of Jesus Christ as a result of them stepping out and using, first of all, the name of Jesus, but the gift that God had put inside of him. They're in the entertainment industry, in the American Ninja Warrior circuit. A friend of mine's name is David, and he's an oil man. He works on oil rigs. And there was a time when there was a severe safety hazard on his rig, and nobody was doing anything about it. And so there were these pipes that were being lifted that would just crush a person if they had fallen on them. And they were being lifted, and there were no chains. There was nothing kind of roping off that area. So people were just kind of walking directly underneath it. And David, he just had a word from the Lord. God said to him, if you don't do something about this, David, somebody's going to get hurt. And so David elevated it to his manager. Nobody really thought, apparently this is kind of a common thing. Nobody really thought it was a big deal. So nobody was doing anything about it. Nobody was taking David seriously. So ultimately he has to elevate it all the way up to the rig manager. And the rig manager, the highest ranking person on the rig, says, all right, David, we're going to walk down. We're going to deal with this thing. And so they roped it off so that as people would walk and they would come right to the chains, they would take a right and then they would go around. They would go on their way. Well, David left for a couple of days and he comes back to a standing ovation. They were saying, here he comes, because David, because he moved on the prophetic word of the Lord and said, we've got to do something about it. He wasn't the safety guy. He wasn't the highest rank. He wasn't a manager. He wasn't accountable. In fact, he was accountable because of the word from the Lord and the fact that he's called to be again, a royal priesthood. We're called to protect those that we work with in the marketplace. And they were applauding him, saying, here he comes. Because one of David's friends on the rig, one of his co-workers, had walked right to where those chains had been put up and walked around it. And right as he turned, this pipe fell that would have just crushed the man and would have killed him. And so because David stepped out on that prophetic word of the Lord, he saved that man's life. And so that's how prophecy can work in a for-profit business setting. In the lower right, there's a picture of my friend Ken Eldred, who really walks in a gift of cross-cultural ministry. And so not everyone is called to that, and certainly as we are becoming more pluralistic, where our countries are becoming more diverse around the world, they're not just the people that we grew up with, but people from all different racial backgrounds, all different national backgrounds. And so he really has a passion to reach out to people that aren't of his same skin color, that aren't of the same background that he comes from. And so he likes to go into these, and he's a venture capitalist and a very successful one at that. I mean, he sold his company for, I think, about $300 million. If you've heard of Dell Computers, Michael Dell used Ken Eldred's catalog back in the 80s. He was ordering the computer parts it was one of the first mail order computer part catalogs in existence. And Michael Dell used those catalogs to order parts to be able to build those earliest Dell computers. And so now Ken has call centers around the world, one notably in India, where the population, there's very few Christians proportionate to the overall Hindu and Muslim demographics. And he sets up these call centers, partners with the local churches in the area to be able to provide discipleship training for those young people, to give them not only professional skills, but also discipleship in terms of their personal walk with God and Bible reading and prayer times and all of those kinds of teaching them the Bible, but then helping them to understand how that fits into their work life. And then they get that professional experience. They can then go on and do great things in the marketplace all around the world. So these are just the four examples of spiritual gifts and what they look like in the business world. And I want to go back again to the fact that these are the various parts of Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul gives us the language to talk about what does Jesus look like in terms of how are we to represent Jesus, he gives us the language of the body of Christ, and that each person has a different part to play. And because 85% of the Christian workforce, at least here in the U.S., probably similar around the world, 85% of the Christian workforce works in a for-profit business enterprise, and that's where we're called to represent him. And each of these parts is a representation of that body. So how can you, as a marketplace Christian, discover and surrender your spiritual gifts? First of all, as I mentioned in the previous unit, there is an assessment that I would encourage you to take. And you can find it here within the course, in the course syllabus, that there is an assessment where you can find out what your spiritual gifts are. And the assessment, I've taken a lot of spiritual gifts assessments. The reason why I created this particular one is because oftentimes when I've taken these assessments in my local church, the purpose has been to find out where I'm supposed to volunteer in my local church. And yet I only spend just a handful of hours in my local church each week. I'm spending far more hours in the business world. So I wanted an assessment that kind of took away some of the kind of churchianity type language to help really get to the heart of what each one of these spiritual gifts are and how they operate in the business world. And so as you take this assessment, it's not just based on we're going to ask you questions, not just do you think you would score high in this area, but what would other people say about you in this particular area? And so take the assessment. After you take the assessment, it really should only take you less than probably 30 minutes. Get feedback from other members of the body of Christ. So again, when you find out what your probably top three most prominent gifts are, and again, we're probably supposed to use all of the gifts, but there's some that are going to be more prominent, that are going to be more distinctly you. And so get feedback from other members of the body of Christ. Let them affirm the results that you get in that assessment. And then the third thing I would say is to cultivate spiritual fruit to fuel your gifts. So that's a significant difference between just your natural abilities and your spiritual gifts, because whether you're a Christian believer or not, you could be a non-Christian and have a strong, just natural ability of administration and do very well in the marketplace. And yet Paul talks about a spiritual gift of administration. So what makes the difference? Well, even as a Christian, you could operate in the natural in administration. It's not a spiritual gift, because it's not being fueled by spiritual fruit. What is spiritual fruit? In Galatians, we find Galatians chapter 5, that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So these are the gifts, these are the fruit, rather, that ought to be fueling your spiritual gifts. Because you could fuel your natural talent, your natural ability with selfish ambition, pride, ego, insecurity, all of those different things. But what fuels spiritual gifts are the fruit of the Spirit. And again, you can go back to Galatians 5, 22 and 23 to read more about what those gifts are. You may be curious about that picture there. There's a painting there of Moses before the burning bush. And what's happening there is Moses is laying down his staff. And one of the things that's happening there, I should say. And when he lays down his staff, and the Lord says, "What is that?" He's looking at it there before the burning bush. It's just a simple stick. But it represented, it was much more than just a simple stick. It represented his livelihood as a shepherd. It represented his identity. It represented really deeply who he was as a person. And so he laid it all down. And then the next time that he picked it up, it became, the Bible began to refer to it as the rod of God, because he had surrendered his identity at that burning bush symbolically through that staff. And so I would encourage you to take those gifts and lay them at the feet of Jesus. Lay them before God. Allow the Holy Spirit to breathe and to empower the abilities that He has given to you. Don't rely on just the flesh, but walk by the Spirit, as we're taught in the book of Romans. And this is so key for marketplace Christians, because otherwise we're just going to conform to the pattern of this world, like Paul cautioned us against in Romans 12. But don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Let Him tap into the gifts that He has put into you, because those gifts are what is going to reveal Jesus to the world, and specifically in the business world. In the next unit, we're going to talk about what does it look like to run a disciple-making company. Because again, we're not just called to make disciples of individuals, but the Great Commission is to make disciples of entire nations. And between individuals and nations, you have companies. So we need to figure that out together.